Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Steve Dighton to the podcast. Pastor Dighton served as pastor emeritus at Lenexa Baptist Church here in Lenexa, Kansas. He founded Lenexa Baptist Church in 1990 and served as their senior pastor until his retirement in 2015. Pastor Dighton, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. It's my privilege to be with you.
Yeah, look, I can't have a conversation with you on this podcast with people who do not know our relationship and our rapport without just getting saying, man, in addition to being the pastor emeritus, founding pastor of Lenexa Baptist Church, you're also just a tremendous personal friend. And, you know, when God called me and my family to Midwestern Seminary now over 6 years ago, right at 6 years ago, you know, one of the first emails I got, maybe the first, after I was announced as a candidate, was from a guy named Steve Dighton, who I did not know. And the most encouraging email reaching out to me, and man, that meant the world to me then. And I remember also what our mutual friend O.S. Hawkins said to me. He said, man, if you'll be a friend of Steve Dighton, he'll be one of the greatest friends you've ever had. And boy, those words proved true, Steve.
Well, thank you, Dr. Allen. It's been my joy to call you friend over the past years you've been in Kansas City. And Mary and I always like socializing with you and Karen, and we miss not being around you as much as we have been over the years when you were a member of Lenexa Baptist, and we saw each other every Sunday. But anyhow, it's my joy to be with you today.
Yeah, it's good to be here. We've taken in our share of Royals games over the years.
Yes, we have.
And look, I'm optimistic, okay? We had
too.
A rough season, but we ended on an uptrend, and that's how you want to end a 100-loss season, on an uptrend.
It absolutely is, and I did have privilege to go the last game that they beat Cleveland, and it looked like a glimmer of hope as we have things together again, and so we're being optimistic about 2019.
That's right. You know, me, you, Micah Freeze, Derek Lynch, we often on text threads about games, and this year wasn't as much text about, so it was a little bit quieter.
Yeah, it did get quiet.
But it's been a fun ride, and now that the Royals are in a slow patch, man, the Chiefs have stepped up, and it's just exhilarating to watch Patrick
Fun to
Mahomes
be in this city, isn't it?
It is. It is. Yeah. And that's not even getting into Sporting KC, which you know, is awesome and sporting fans love. And so anyway, but today we're here talking about the pastor and shepherding difficult sheep. And again, I just think this is such a wonderful topic for us to engage in, that it will be helpful to our listeners, and it's a topic that you and I both, you especially, though, having spent so many more years in ministry, pastoral ministry, than I have, that we can talk about. Now, we have to say on the front end, for the two of us, we're covenanting, we're not going to name names, okay? We're going to do our best not to name names, but we have had some difficult sheep over the years. And I guarantee you, there is not a minister listening to this podcast who hasn't had a difficult sheep or many difficult sheep. And if you are that rare one who is saying, I've never had a difficult sheep, first of all, where are you pastoring? I got about a million people who'd like to be there. Or you must be like in week three of pastoral ministry. It just you haven't been there long enough.
Well, you know, honestly, let me say going in that in 36 years of pastoral ministry, most people are not difficult. But it's just like anything else. You pastor people for a while, you'll run on to some challenges and some difficult people. And I've had a few of those. And looking at this topic, I can guarantee you there's a few that come to mind immediately.
You know, as we talk here, my mind races to a brief interaction I had with Bob Russell. And, of course, you know Bob very well. Bob has been retired now for, good grief, I guess about 12 or so years from Southeast Christian Church in Louisville. Of course, I lived in Louisville for 11 years myself, and I was a member of Southern Baptist Church, not Southeast Christian, but Southeast is a big evangelical church, a lot of Southern Baptists there. And Bob was the pastor there, the founding pastor, like you at Lenexa, was there forever, and just such a sweet-spirited guy. Well, you know, I knew a ton of people at Southeast Christian Church. I mean, I just did. They were seminary students. They were donors to the seminary. You bump into them around town in business and social settings, and I bumped into Southeast Christian members everywhere. And it dawned on me one day, man, I am yet to meet a disagreeable member of Southeast Christian Church. Well, like 3 days later, I bumped into Bob Russell at the airport, and he was kind to me. We weren't particularly close, but we knew one another. He was very kind to me. And I told him that very point. I said, you know, Pastor Russell, I was thinking just the other day, I know dozens of members of Southeast Christian Church. I am yet to meet an unkind person from Southeast Christian. And he said to me, he said, well, I sure have.
Well, and honestly, you know this to be true as well. The overwhelming majority of people that go to Lenexa Baptist Church are just good, godly people.
Right.
And we've built a sweet fellowship there over the years. But you cannot pastor people without running into some challenging folks and some people that will give you more grief than you want.
You know, and even thinking about this conversation today with you, while we're still kind of talking about generalities here, you know, Steve, for me, one of the sobering and disappointing realizations in ministry in those early years, and I'm like you, man, God has blessed. I've had some awesome pastors with people in the church that are, you know, 90%+ sweet and healthy and good and happy. But I went into my first pastorate thinking, you know, everybody in the church, everyone has pure motives. Everyone's heart's in the right place. There may be an occasional disagreement, but everyone has pure motives. Everyone's heart's in the right place, and we'll just kind of talk through some things. And if we talk through things, we can get together. And the reality is, whether it's one little local church or the Southern Baptist Convention as a whole, you know, 95% of people on average probably are sweet and do have good motives, though they, you know, have sin in their hearts like all of us. But there are a few in every church, there are a few in the denomination, there are a few in wherever, you know, Christians are gathered that actually they don't have pure motives. Maybe they're dealing with some, you know, they have been wounded once in the past, and so that they are thus
those
bitter.
Those scars carry over,
those
yes.
scars carry over, but something, some reason why they are just difficult on pastors.
Yeah.
Have you found that to be true?
Well, absolutely. And honestly, I think maybe even my presupposition on dealing with difficult people, one is to be honest in the evaluation of my own heart. Am I the cause of the source of the problem? Is there something that I have done that's prompted their poor behavior? Not that I'm taking ownership of it, but still, you know, you have to wonder what's the reason for this? And but I've learned, you know, there's some miserable people, and it doesn't matter if it's in the workplace or if it's at the schoolyard or whatever it is vocationally you do, you have to. Challenging people. There's probably a few difficult people at the seminary. I don't know, but
not here.
I lost my head there.
That's right. So I guess, you know, for guys listening to this podcast who are in ministry or on their way to ministry, what are warning signs? And not to typecast people, but what are warning signs of maybe a church member that's going to be difficult?
Well, you don't know until you know, I guess. I think usually these people are strong choleric personalities that they have a hard time seeing anything that they're wrong on, that they're always right. You know, I think it surfaces soon enough because you're going to say something or do something they disagree with. But I think what I have tried to do, one, is try to remain calm and not to get too defensive. Because I think inherently, if somebody attacks you on something, you feel like you've got to defend yourself, and a lot of times the issue is not even the issue. I think they're disgruntled people because they're disgruntled in life. It just spills over into the dynamic of their relationship with their pastor or their church, and you don't measure up, or the church doesn't measure up. So it just evolves into some conflict, and since you're in the first chair, it usually is the wrath directed at you.
You know, there's the old saying that hurt people.
Right.
And man, that is so true. And I found over the years that oftentimes if you have a person that's just being irrational in their criticism, that man, oftentimes there's a deeper wound there, and sometimes there actually is an open door to minister to them in a way, to reach them in a way. If we have an eye to perceive what that deeper hurt may be, and I don't mean that in some, you know, crazy indiscernible therapeutic sense, but just an awareness. Usually, people don't just lash out of the blue.
Right.
Usually, there's something there.
There is, but oftentimes these people, if you resolve that issue, pretty soon there's another issue. Because it's oftentimes deep-seated. But honestly, my approach would be, is there any way I can get them on my team? Is there a way that I can, either through kindness or the way I respond to them, help them to see that I'm, you know, I've got the best interest of the church in mind or whatever their complaint is? I certainly didn't do that. To be offensive to them and try to diffuse it as best I can. But if there's a way to win them over, I want to try to do that. And I know sometimes that's probably a little naive that can happen. But still, I think we've got to do our best to try to resolve it in a in a Christian manner, really.
Yeah, no, that's a very good word. Hey, Pastor Steve, let's stop just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm back in the studio with my good friend, Pastor Steve Dighton, talking about the pastor and shepherding difficult sheep. And you brushed up against just the reality of communication, how we communicate with church members, how we relate to them. And look, I've been a seminary president now, about to complete 6 years is the time we record. I've been in ministry in one form or another now for 20 years, which is hard to imagine. I got to begin serving in ministry in college, so I'm going to date myself here. You know, but over the years in ministry, man, I don't know if I've ever seen a guy get fired just because he wasn't quite cutting in the pulpit.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever seen a guy get fired because, you know, he wasn't praying enough in the study.
That's
I mean,
right.
I wish, you know, almost wish I could say those things were true. But, man, so many guys I've seen get fired in ministry just went back to their basic inability to relate to people and or to communicate with church members in an effective, winsome way.
No question about it. You know, one of the key ingredients to be an effective pastor is you got to have some people skills. And by that, I mean, there's some people anybody can get along with, but there's a lot of people out there that you really got to handle in a right, productive way, or you're always going to have trouble on your hands. You know, I tried to address their complaint without being overly defensive, as I shared, or not assuming that whatever their complaint was didn't have merit. And if it couldn't productively deal with it, I whether this is right or not, I just tried to stay away from them. You know, I tried to keep my distance and not keep on having to deal with them in a context of conflict. And if I could get it resolved in a productive way, well, so be it. But truth of the matter is, I'm not just sticking my head back in the fire for the fun of it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you put that in a way that is very wise. You know, I love what you said a few moments ago, too, to go back to that. You talked about strong personalities. And look,
yeah.
I'm of the mindset that we should not be afraid of strong personalities.
Yeah.
I mean, strong personalities tend to go with people that are very gifted, very committed.
Absolutely.
They've invested
no question.
30 years of time and 30 years of tithing and 30 years of participation in a church. And they have this built-up sense of, man, I care about this church. And so sometimes I see pastors that are threatened by strong personalities. I'm always reminded of the proverb. I remind them that, you know, where there are no oxen, the stalls are clean.
Sure.
And if you try to cull out of your church anyone with a strong personality, anyone that may have the nerve to express a concern or disagreement with you, before you know it, you can wake up with a very weak church with people that aren't that engaged and aren't that committed to the work in the first place.
No, you're absolutely right. And really, none of these personalities are better than the others. But to learn how these people are going to react and respond is beneficial in knowing how to deal with them. But you've got to have those choleric personalities. They're the leaders, you know. There's no doubt about it. And so try to keep peace with them. It's not always as easy as it is with a phlegmatic personality or a sanguine or something like that. But truth of the matter is, they're oftentimes they see things more critically, or even a melancholy personality, same way. They see things more critically than other people. And so, but if you know kind of the responses of those personalities, you know better how to deal with them. My personality is, if there's any way we can bring some levity
right
to the situation, you know, let's do that. Because I think it clears the air a little bit rather than just the thing being overly confrontational. Let's bring it to where, you know, we can smile about it and move on. I'm not saying that's always the best way to handle it. But, you know, that's one thing that I try to do.
Yeah, I'm reminded of an anecdote out of the political realm with Lyndon Johnson, and who was this, you know, massive force of personality. And the anecdote is, on one occasion, there's a particularly difficult member of Congress he was trying to win over, and he was going to meet with him in the Oval Office. And his staff said to him, said, "Mr. President, you know, no one is going to, no one can win him over." And Johnson said, "Well, if I can't win him over, then no one can." And just that desire to try to win someone over, and not to get into a political assessment of Johnson, but look, as far as moving legislation, the guy had the knack for it in the presidency.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm reminded years ago in a church I was serving, a particular church member that just was impossible. And he had been impossible to the previous 10 pastors and would be impossible to pastors who would follow me. And I remember on one occasion, I had been about 14, 16 months without missing a Sunday, and the church was always gracious to give me time off and so forth. So it wasn't a church issue. It was an issue with this particular church member. And I just, in conversation, mentioned to him, you know, we've been gone now for about, I said, I've been here about a year and a half nearly, and given the fact that my wife, when we had our baby, we weren't able to travel last year on vacation, I just kind of made the comment, I'm thinking about taking back-to-back Sundays off. I mean, you would have thought I had just announced a 6-month sabbatical. He was so upset with me. I'll never forget, he said to me, he said, "I'll have you know, I once had a boss that wouldn't let me take back-to-back weeks off. Why should we let you?"
Yeah.
And I just looked at him, and I'm not going to say his name, or I said, "And I can tell to this day, you're still angry at that boss for how he treated you. Why would you want to treat your pastor that way?" My point in that is not to get group sympathy here. My point is to say, on occasion, there are church members, man, it's like no matter how hard you work, how gracious you are, how much you pray for them, it's like you just can't, they just won't come around. How do you deal or not deal with that person?
Well, that's a good question. I think we have to understand where people are coming from, and it became obvious in that situation you just talked about. As he told you where he is coming from. And it's the same old principle on how much is too much to pay a pastor. Well, it's making more than the person who is inquiring about how much the pastor makes.
Right.
And that's relative to taking a couple of weeks off, you know. He didn't get 2 weeks off, so it's a bad thing if you do. And life is that way. It's not any different in the church than it is outside the church. That's our criteria of evaluation oftentimes. These people are not bad people always. Sometimes they are bad people. But sometimes they are just scarred by life. And so they are in your church. And, I'd like to think I could nurse them back to some good health, spiritual health, and even mental health. That's not always the case. But I want to be caught trying. I don't want to be a quarrelsome pastor. I don't want to engage in, shouting matches. And you know this as well as me, Dr. Allen. You lose your cool in the church, you'll be looking for a job.
Yeah.
And we have got to stay calm. And we have got to not let someone bother us so bad that we could jeopardize our job at the church, our vocation, because we lost control for a moment.
That's right. You know, Steve, I'm reminded of the anecdote around the death of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The funeral procession was going by, and a particular onlooker was weeping. Someone asked the onlooker, "Oh, did you know President Roosevelt?" And the onlooker said, "No, but he knew me."
Yeah.
Roosevelt's ability to speak to the hearts of people, especially in the context of the Great Depression and this great period of economic want. And I'm going to brag on you for a moment here, and I'm going somewhere with that anecdote. Man, you have incredible people skills. I mean, I can't assume that people listening to this podcast know it, but everyone who's ever been a part of one of your churches, they know it. Man, your ability to love on people, to make them feel welcome, to follow up, to drop an email, a text, to send a note, to be there at the hospital. And again, not to inflate you here, nor to create a scenario where those listening feel like they have to be omnipresent, pastorally speaking, to succeed. But at the same time, God has gifted you. You naturally make friends. You naturally win people over. You naturally connect with people. And God used that as one of the essential tools to grow the next Baptist church from a church plant to a congregation of some 3,000 when you retired. I guess if we try to pull the conversation together here, would you just maybe flesh out two or three or four, however many kind of principles you've learned, and maybe they're more second nature to you, but for our listeners, maybe not so much, and that helps one deal with and win over such difficult church members?
Well, thanks for those nice compliments, Dr. Allen. I guess the thing that's critical you've got to love people. You just have to love people and understand that while the church's only commodity is relationships, offering relationships to God through faith in Jesus Christ, and then relationships one with another. And the thing that I could do, I'm comfortable with the poorest of paupers, and I'm comfortable with the most educated. And I guess, being comfortable in whatever context I find myself or whoever I might be interacting with, I can identify with them pretty well. And so that's been a big benefit. But it's because I wanted to and because I thrive on relationships and getting to be important in people's life and to help along the way and be their pastor. So, I don't think that it's a learned skill so much as certainly the scriptures teach me how to be better at what I do. But I think it's just who I am, who God made me. And so I just tried to, use that as a way to endear myself to people through relationship skills. So.
Thank you, Steve. Well, to those listening and joining us today, the pastor and shepherding difficult sheep, they exist. We know it. Sometimes they're wolves. Sometimes they're sheep. And in all times, it's hard for us to know their heart. But to lead, to point them to the gospel, to point them to the word, to seek to win them over to a place of greater spiritual and interpersonal health is not easy, but it's a noble task to undertake. Steve, thank you for joining me today on Preaching and Preachers.
It's been my joy.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.